Good morning, Fairfield Church. If we haven't met before, as Pastor Mike mentioned, my name is Scott Carr, Jr. I'm a distance learning student in the Master of Divinity program at Calvin Theological Seminary. I serve as a seminary intern at Liberty Church, Center City, and Mainline in Philadelphia, working with the homeless ministry and the worship ministries there. It is my privilege to open scripture with you all this morning. If you would please join me in prayer. Lord God, we wish to see Jesus. By your Spirit's power, give us eyes to see his glory. May we know his presence with us. Through Christ we pray. Amen. If you could turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, we'll be reading verses 28 through 36. At the end of the reading, I'll say this is the gospel of the Lord, and you can respond with praise to you, O Christ. So a reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice was spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. One of my favorite books is J.R.R. Tolkien's classic, The Hobbit. It's the story of 13 dwarves who take with them a hobbit by the name of Bilbo Baggins on a perilous journey to the Lonely Mountain to retake their glorious kingdom from the dragon Smaug. In the first chapter, they sing a song to Bilbo explaining their quest. They sing, "We must away ere break of day to claim our long-forgotten gold." Our text today tells us of Peter also climbing a mountain, looking for the long-forgotten glory of God. Peter looks up the domed incline of Mount Tabor, trees obscuring his view of the peak. He can see Jesus just a few feet ahead of him, while his dear friends, James and John, walk alongside him. As he looks up at Jesus, he can't help wondering, who is this man? Only a few days before, Peter had confessed him as the Christ, but Jesus responded with talk of dying. Peter still had no idea what he had meant. All he knew was he had pinned all of his hopes on this man. He had heard the stories. He knew the prophets had talked about the coming Messiah who would bring God back to Israel and Israel back to God. He, as a good Jew, went up faithfully to the temple. But as impressive as it is, he's not so sure God still dwells there. The glory of God had left it long ago and has not returned. God is still absent and Israel in exile. He had said that this man was the Christ, but God still feels just as far away as he always has. As they come up the winding path to the top of the mountain, Peter doesn't even bother looking at the vast plains that lay below them. He is exhausted and collapses to the ground, panting, ready to sleep. Before he closes his eyes, he looks up at Jesus, but finds himself unable to look away. Jesus is dressed in the purest white Peter can imagine, and his face shines in a way it never has before. And Peter is no longer thinking about sleep. This looks like the long-forgotten glory he had always imagined coming down on Solomon's temple. And then he notices, next to Jesus, Moses and Elijah, his childhood heroes, talking to his master right in front of him. Is this it? might God finally be returning to Israel? Moses and Elijah begin to turn away, and Peter knows he can't let them leave. He's waited too long for this moment. "Master, it is good for us to be here," he blurts out. "Let's stay. Let's set up 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Can't we just stay? Can't I just stay? Can't I just stay?" It's a question I've asked myself recently. As a distance student, I ascend to Grand Rapids, Michigan, 1 week every semester for on-campus classes at Calvin Theological Seminary. In fact, I was there at the Peak just 2 weeks ago. For 1 week, I sit in classes on scripture, preaching, and Hebrew. I had the opportunity to sit down face-to-face with all of my professors. And finally, there's a built-in support group for Hebrew, ready to make sense of this strange language together. I have the privilege of listening to all of my classmates preach the gospel, and we spend hours with our formation group mentor over meals, talking to him about our hopes, dreams, and fears in our ministry callings. He's always ready to speak words of wisdom from his 30 years as a pastor. A church is only a 5-minute walk from campus rather than the hour commute I typically perform. For 1 week, I am not running in and out of Christian school classrooms as a substitute teacher or encountering the parade of needs the homeless community brings into our church building every Saturday. Instead, I can just be a student, being with God before his word without having to bear the weight of ministry. Can't I just stay? We all have our can't I just stay moments, those times on the mountain where God feels closer than ever and our troubles seem to slip away. Can't I just stay at this marriage conference rather than go back home to something far less than happily ever after? Can't I stay with my family during our devotional time rather than go to the doctor's appointments that take up far more of my retirement time than I had planned? Can't I just stay in this church service instead of going back to a job on Monday that feels meaningless? Can't I just stay at this prayer meeting rather than go home to a child that never fails to make the wrong decision? Can't I just stay? Before those words are out of Peter's mouth, a cloud comes down over the top of the mountain. Peter isn't sure what is happening. He looks over at James and John and sees the same fear in their faces that he's sure they see in his. A loud, deep voice echoes from the cloud, and Peter has to cover his ears, already ringing from the noise. It says, "This is my son. Shut up and listen." In a moment, the cloud dissipates. When Peter raises his head, he sees only Jesus, looking as he always had before, ordinary, clothed in the same dust-stained clothes he is. And there is no trace of the shining glory he thought he had seen moments before. And he is silent. The voice had told him to listen to Jesus, but Jesus isn't saying anything now. Jesus is silent because he's already spoken. If only Peter had listened. Jesus and Moses and Elijah have been talking about Jesus' departure, in Greek, literally his exodus. A greater deliverance, a greater exodus than the one Peter had always heard about is coming. There's Moses, the author of the law, filled with signs, symbols, and rituals that have always pointed to Jesus. Then there's Elijah, one of the great prophets who had always talked about the Messiah who would bring God back to Israel and Israel back to God. Peter is seeing the stories he's heard about his whole life culminate now in Jesus. If only Peter had listened, he would remember that Jesus had 8 days before said, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed and on the third day be raised. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." 8 days after hearing these words, Peter sees this sight on the mountain. One of my favorite church fathers, St. Ambrose of Milan, says that the resurrection happened on the 8th day. Another church father, Ephrem the Syrian, comments, He who gave his body a glory that no one could reach is able to raise it to life from the death that everyone tasted. Peter has seen a small glimpse of the resurrection that will defeat the death Jesus had spoken about 8 days before. Right now, Peter doesn't understand any of this, but one day he will. Right now, Peter says nothing about what he's seen, but one day he will. About 30 years later, in 2 Peter 1:16-18, he will write, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain." One day, Peter will understand what Jesus is doing. But for now, once the clouds roll away, he's left with the Jesus he's always known. He could be disappointed. What happened to the long-forgotten glory? Can't that glory come back to the temple? Can't God dwell with his people again? Can't he just stay? But if he looks into that familiar, smiling face, perhaps he'd see something else. He would see God coming back not in his glory, but much nearer, disguised in human flesh. As he descends down the mountain, he walks down with Jesus, stepping away from that glory to set his face towards Jerusalem, to be one with his people, to die and to rise, to deal with the muck and mire of Peter's day-to-day life. God's presence has come much closer than Peter could have ever dreamed. As I begin my own descent in a red, blue, and yellow Southwest plane, I'm drawn to the Philadelphia skyline outside the window, especially the spire atop One Liberty Place. Underneath that 61-story skyscraper is the parking garage I pull into every Saturday morning before walking to the next block where Liberty's Center City building rests. On any given Saturday, 100 men and women walk into our building to receive a meal to assuage the hunger they experience from homelessness and food insecurity. It can become overwhelming to encounter such need every week, but I can also see Jesus present in that room, working in ways I might not expect. I think of one man who we'll call Seth this morning. He came to Emmanuel Ministry, Liberty's outreach to the homeless community, a little over a year ago. He himself was on the streets and came to receive a meal. He met our pastor of Mercy Ministries, Vito, and was soon invited to church for the first time in decades. The next morning, he slipped into a church service at Liberty. We fast forward a few months. By the time I've joined Emmanuel's leadership team, he's there volunteering every week, setting up tables and chairs. A couple months after that, he's ready to become a member at Liberty and to make a public profession of faith. I have the privilege of helping him write out his testimony as part of the process. By this past summer, the Bethesda Project has placed him in his own apartment and provided permanent housing. He continues to walk with Jesus and to lead Emmanuel's setup and tear down team every week. He has the potential to be a great deacon in the church. All this after coming every week to Emmanuel. Jesus is there, much closer than I could have ever dreamed. Today, God says to you to shut up and listen. "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." He is present in your home of less than happily ever after. He sits beside you in the doctor's office. He is much closer than you could have ever dreamed. He's there with you in your workplace. He has become part of the muck and mire of your day-to-day life and has transformed it through his death and resurrection. He has given his body and blood to you in a feast. You don't bear this alone. He has, in fact, borne it for you. You are here as witnesses of his presence. So shut up and listen. And once you hear it, tell everyone about it. Fairfield Church, this is the good news for you this morning, that Jesus is not just present on the mountaintops, but in the muck and mire of our everyday lives alongside us. Jesus is much closer than we could have ever dreamed. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence with us here this morning. As we leave this place, may we know you walk with us into our Mondays and our Tuesdays and all the days after. Show us your presence with us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Scott. Let us turn to our hymnals.